Welcome, everyone, to the Good Girl to Goddess podcast. This is your host, Joy Balma, feminine power mentor, author of the book, Crack Your Good Girl Code. And on this podcast, you know, we highlight those sneaky, silent, good girl patterns that can really keep us from our most badass life. And today we've got a guest that is talking about a subject that I am totally excited about, and it's all about sales mastery. We are talking to Nikki Rausch, who's known as the Sales Maven. Oh my God, I'm so excited. I've read her books. I can't wait to just dive into this. So Nikki, known as the Sales Maven, teaches people all about the process of selling with tools and techniques and tips for those of us who rely on selling our products and services. She demystifies sales. I just can't wait to talk about this. So after 25 years of experience selling to prestigious organizations like the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, Hewlett Packard, and NASA, Nikki decided to trade her road warrior status so she could help entrepreneurs sell in a way that builds relationships, creates true connection, and results in more closed deals and long-term clients. Welcome, Nikki.
Thank you, Joy. I'm so excited to be here.
We're going to let people know all about this because this is like, it's like the missing link, okay? And women out there who are entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, holistic coaches, heart-based healers, online solopreneurs, if you don't know about sales, you can't make a living, right?
That's right. That's right. Yeah, I always say if you're not making sales, you have a hobby, you don't have a business. And it's super important that there's a business component in order for you to prosper, in order for you to make a larger impact in your life, in the lives of your clients, and in your community.
You know, you can spend $5,000, $10,000 on your website. You can have a book. You can have a podcast. You can have all the systems and tech tools and techniques. If you don't know how to have a sales conversation or introduce your work or close the sale, then you can't keep your business afloat. And so many women, I find, this is a real missing piece. It's like I think there's a psychological element, and I really want to ask you, Nikki, what you think is that resistance that women in particular have against selling? What is it? What is that thing?
Well, I think a lot of it comes down to we as women often, especially as growing up, we're told like be pleasant, be helpful, be kind. And somehow we take all of that to mean and don't sell. But you can actually be all of those things and sell. It's just that we have also been exposed to, I would call it like a very male dominated way to sell. And I come from a very male dominated background in industry that I worked in. And I struggled with that too. I struggled with how am I ever going to sell like these guys? They're so aggressive. They're so in your face. And oftentimes, like I would describe it as pushy, and they would say things I would never say to a customer. And they were totally comfortable and happy to have those kind of combative type conversations. And that just did not work for me. And so I've been there and I know what it's like to struggle to think, well, I have to sell like them. But when I started to understand that actually I didn't have to sell like them, I just had to be myself and I had to be more strategic in the conversation, then I got out of my own way and sales got easier.
There's so many little things in there that add up to resistance to selling. You know, never want to be seen as pushy or greedy or just about money or not relational.
Yeah.
Right.
That's a big one too, right? Because I think as women, we're community builders. We are collaborative, I think, by nature. And so when you're looking at sales as sales is something you're supposed to do to somebody, which is absolutely against what I teach sales as something you do with somebody because it is a collaboration. And if you're acting like or think in some way that selling is something you do to somebody, that's why it feels gross. That's why it feels yucky. That's why you hold yourself back, is we don't want to do things to people. That doesn't seem nice. That doesn't seem kind.
Right, exactly. It's like, it's kind of like the Goldilocks. It's like, you know, we can come on as too much, or we can be too little, or in trying to find that part that's just right. You know what it feels like, you know, when the other person is receiving you as too much.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what it feels like when you've just left your whole thing on the table and walked away and didn't get the money. You know when you've just not closed the deal and you could have. It's like, what happened there? It's like, we have to have a lot of awareness of how we're approaching people and how we're being approached, so we can learn.
Yes.
Because there's so many ways sales can go off the rails, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's definitely this idea of, are you making it easy for the person you're in conversation with, the person who you'd like to earn their business? Are you making it easy for them to go through this process, this conversation with you, and get to a place where you invite them to exchange dollars for services or product? Or are you putting up a bunch of roadblocks because you're uncomfortable with the conversation? You don't know what to say next. You don't know how to have the money conversation. And so you inadvertently send the message that, hey, maybe you shouldn't buy from me because I don't really know what I'm doing and I'm not very credible, which is not true. It's just learning how to be more strategic in the conversation. And then the process gets easier for you. And more importantly, it gets easier for the prospect to pay you money and get a solution to solve their problem or meet that need that they have.
Well, what I love about your work and your books and all the things that you teach is that you create a container that is not only safe, it's powerfully courteous. Is that strange? You know, in reading your books, and it's like you learn how to be both powerful and courteous, which is, you know, women don't like it when other women aren't courteous. I mean, right? It's like,
that's true.
But you want to be powerful at the same time. And I love how you, in so many different aspects, this shows up, and we need these tools and tips and techniques. I want to tell you about a couple sales conversations that went off the rails. And you can give me some feedback about that. Someone said to me, oh, I really want you to meet my friend. Okay. And it was just very vague. I mean, it's like, okay, well, this is meeting a friend, right? Like, I have a conversation with this friend of this friend's, and they are in full sales discovery call mode. Because evidently this other friend thought that was trying to help her other friend get my business, right?
Okay.
I mean, as we're going through the call, I'm realizing, oh, okay, I'm in an inadvertent sales conversation that I didn't even set up.
I didn't even volunteer to participate in this. Okay, I get
it. Yeah, but it's clear, it's like, as the conversation's going, everything the person is saying, I'm realizing, okay, they're trying to get my business somehow. Like, this isn't just a friendship thing. So things like that is one of the ways, and then she ended up sending me a proposal after this conversation. And so I think that this courteous, powerfully courteous is important. Like, we have to understand, like, when we are invited to have a sales conversation. Can you talk about that to us, Nikki, like the invitation?
Yeah, so I think, you know, there's a lot of great stuff about how you have to ask for the sale. And I teach that, I believe in it. And I take it one step further, and I teach my clients how to issue invitations. How do you invite people to go to the next step? And the next step isn't always give me money. Sometimes the next step is, you know, would you be interested in hearing a little bit more about what I do and see if it might be of interest to you? That's an invitation. And when somebody ropes you into a conversation and you're not really quite sure what it's for, one, I would suggest that you check in these situations, because especially if you're like, I don't really want to get roped into a sales conversation of something I'm not even prepared to even make a decision about, So I want to encourage you to ask your friend who says, hey, I want to introduce you to my friend, you know, Jamie. And you say, great. Can I ask, what's the purpose in the introduction? What prompted that? Like, ask.
Exactly.
And she's like, well, Jamie wants to, you know, show you and tell you about what she's got going on. And you go, great. Well, tell me what she is. What is she doing? And let me decide if that's something that makes sense for me to have a conversation now. And it's also okay to say, thank you so much for thinking of me. I'm going to respectfully decline right now because it isn't something I'm interested in. Like, it's totally okay to say no. You do not have to have every sales conversation. Just because somebody wants to sell to you doesn't mean you have to participate in the conversation. But I
don't even know that they're selling. Yeah.
Right. And so where this friend went wrong, I'm naming her Jamie in this particular instance, but
okay,
where Jamie went wrong is she should have set the meeting up with you to say, I always say pre-frame at the very beginning of your call. Like, what's the purpose of the call? And if you don't pre-frame, you don't create safety. And if you don't create safety, it's very hard to earn somebody's business. So a pre-frame, an example of a pre-frame is she might say, Joy, it's so nice to meet you. I'm so happy our friend connected us. You know, the reason I asked to be introduced to you is I was wondering if my product or my service might be, you know, valuable to you. And if it might be something you'd be open to hearing more about, would you be willing to give me a couple quick minutes here just to tell you a little bit about it and see if there's any interest there? Now, if she had done that, you might have said, yes, tell me more. Or you might have said, no, thanks, but it's so nice to meet you. Right? Either way is okay. But if she doesn't pre-frame and she doesn't check in and get permission, if you just launch into a sales pitch with somebody who's not prepared for it, I always compare this to, it's like you're stopping at the grocery store to pick up some milk. And as you're walking into the grocery store, somebody jumps out in front of you and says, do you want to buy some, whatever it is, but that's not what you're at the grocery store for. So you're unprepared to have that conversation. And a lot of times you're kind of stunned and you're turned off by it because you're like, no, I'm here to get milk. Like, why are you jumping out in front of me? And the same thing happens when somebody shows up into a conversation with you and they're not expecting it to be a sales conversation and you go into full sales mode. You're like putting on your full dog and pony show. That is such a turnoff to somebody. And it breaks rapport.
Yeah, it's like you're caught in a trap. And then she sends me this proposal, and it's like, good girl, it's like, okay, now I'm faced with saying no.
Yes.
Which is another, like, thing the good girl does not want to do. And how do you do that? You just call her up and say, hey, this was great. It was, I really love connecting with you, but, you know, this isn't something I want. I mean, that would be the logical, simple thing to do, which is exactly what I did. But it's like, I felt like, okay, now the onus is on me to tell her no. So that was like a sales attack. Like you say, in the grocery store, someone's attacking you with another, you know, pitch. And I think that a lot of solopreneurs just don't know how to do this. It causes a lot of disconnection. Now, if that same woman had just totally been connecting with me as a friend, let's just say, just to make a connection, and didn't even tell me what she did, maybe even, she might have had a little bit more of a chance. Do you know what I mean? Because there was no invitation there. Because isn't it in your book about the invitation or something like that?
Well, the other thing is, I teach a 5-step process. I call it the selling staircase. And that's the five steps of the sales conversation, like the actual conversation. And where she went wrong, I think, is one, in step one, she didn't do a good enough job making an introduction and a connection. Everything I teach is built on rapport, by the way. I always say relationship first, rapport always. And so she didn't do anything to build a relationship, doesn't sound like at the get-go. She didn't build any rapport, and therefore she totally skipped step two in the process, which is creating some curiosity. She could have asked you some questions, and then you likely would have asked her some questions in return. And when she got your questions in return, it's an opportunity for her to create a little curiosity. And had she created curiosity and you would have said, you know, tell me more about that, or what would that look like for me? Or I wonder how I might benefit from that in some way. Once she creates some curiosity, now she has permission to invite you to a potential next step in the sales conversation. But she didn't create any curiosity. She forgot the relationship first piece. And it sounds like, even though I'm sure she was a nice person, she missed a lot of rapport building. And as a matter of fact, she even broke rapport. You shouldn't just be randomly sending somebody a proposal for something they didn't request.
You talk about creating curiosity. And in your book, you have this great way of talking about it. Maybe you could tell the story about Here, Kitty, Kitty.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So I always compare curiosity to, it's the difference between how you call a dog and how you call a cat. If you want to get a dog's attention, you have this like tone of voice, you change your tone of voice and you act really excited. You're like, oh, come here, boy, come here. Let's go do something. Let's go for a walk. Let's, you know, whatever. And dogs love that energy because they're like, oh, something fun's going to go on. I'm totally in. I'm all about this. I'm going to come to you. But if you show up in a conversation with what I call dog calling energy, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited to tell you about all my things that I have going on. Let's take a walk and I'm going to, you know, word vomit all over you. Well, people don't respond to dog calling energy. We go like, too much, too aggressive, too overexcited. It just doesn't resonate. So the flip side of that is if you think about how you want to get a cat's attention, you do this thing where you go, here, kitty, kitty. Now, a cat may come to you. They may not. They might give you a little look, but at least they're willing to go, I'm paying attention. Let's see what you got next. So I always think about when you answer questions, you want to have what I call here, kitty, kitty responses. These are curiosity creating responses. If you have something in your business that you want to talk about with people, and it's something that you want to just test the waters to see, am I talking to a prospective client or am I just talking to somebody who it's nice to get to know them? You have to have here, kitty, kitty responses. So for instance, let's say you want to talk about the podcast and you're on a conversation with somebody, it's a get to know you call and they go, you know, so how are you? And you go, oh, I'm fantastic. I just recorded episode, 85. I don't know what episode you're on, Joy. So episode 85 of my podcast. Now, if you say that, somebody's going to go, oh, what's your podcast about? Maybe. If they have any interest in podcasting and now you have a little bit of permission to talk about, you know, Good Girl to Goddess podcast. You don't have permission to go like, well, this is what I do. I'm an empowerment coach and I work with women and, you know, you're the kind of woman that should hire me. You should come be a part of the academy. Like, you know, you don't have that permission. You just have enough to start to talk about it. Now, as you talk about the podcast, they might go, so how do clients work with you? Well, now you get to tell them a little bit more about how clients work with you. And then you get to issue an invitation because now they're asking questions about your business. So you want to have here, kitty, kitty responses.
I just love that so much. You know, cats are difficult also to like, you know, they don't just come running towards you like a dog, right?
No.
So
right.
Leave them a little trail of, kibble, you know, coming toward your way. And I love about that is that they're drawn to you. You have something that's yummy that they want, right? It's not like you're, because, you know, anybody who's gone to try and catch a cat, right, usually, you know, they're going to squirm away, you know?
Yeah.
So I love this because it's all psychological and we miss all of this, I think, because we're so busy with all the other things we have to do with our businesses and, you know, our own mastery. This is just another piece that I think we often, you know, overlook. So another story I was going to share with you was I got on the sales. This was a discovery call. Okay.
Okay.
But the woman was not connecting with me at all. Like didn't seem to like care. You know what I mean? It's like, she was just very detached. Mm-hmm. She was just going through her script. So she didn't even bother to even really care. And then at the end, the price was outrageous, right? And I know this person. They've never charged that much. She told me she had gone to this training that told her how to do this, you know, to charge these large sums. And, you know, I'm like, this is something that's very incongruent here.
Yes.
So that was, you know, sales that went off the rails. I mean, obviously you can see what she did wrong, but what happened there? What was the problem?
Well, one of the things is she's trying to sell by a script that somebody gave her. Now, I do give my clients some script language. Well, in a way, they call them scripts. My clients call them scripts. I call them examples because I want them to insert their own language. And a sales conversation is that. It's a conversation. And a conversation doesn't work by following just a script where you're not engaging, you're not connecting with the other person, you're just reading questions and writing answers, and then, okay, now I'm supposed to say this here, you know, tell me where you want to be in 20 years, who do you want with you? I hate that crap when it comes to sales.
I know.
Because it's not, you're not selling people 20 years from now, you're selling them today, and they want today solutions, not 20-year solutions. So I just think whoever's teaching that stuff is, well, good for them that they've learned how to sell it, because it doesn't help you sell yourself when you do this with people, depending on what you're selling. But 9 out of 10 of you don't be asking those kind of questions. The idea behind a sales conversation is that there's some back and forth, that you ask some questions, they get to answer. And then based on what their answers are, then we're going to ask permission before we even offer a solution to them. And so you don't offer a solution unless you have permission to do it. And the other thing too is this idea of like not connecting with you. Like, I don't even care if you don't get through any of the questions that I would suggest to my client. If you don't make a connection with somebody, that was a wasted call. It was an absolute waste of a call. It was a waste of time for you, and it was a waste of time for her. And we don't have time to waste nowadays. Like, time is such a precious commodity. So she would have been better spent just getting to know you on that call versus trying to walk you through some script that somebody said. And then to have this pricing, the fact that you had the response that you had about her price, like, this was an outrageous price and she's never charged that before. Like, she made a big misstep with you. You should have had some idea going in what kind of pricing you guys were talking about, whether because she put it on her website or because she pre-framed it some way in the call. But, you know, to have that type of a conversation and then have people be shocked by your price, that's on you as the seller. You've missed a step. People shouldn't be like, what, when you say your price? And if they're saying what, you have really blown it. I remember last year, maybe the year before, I was having a conversation with somebody who I was interested in hiring. I had checked her out. I had asked a couple of people who had worked with her. I knew kind of what her pricing was. And when she quoted her price to me, it was like 5 times what she was charging these other people. And then she said something that was like the worst thing ever. She quoted this incredibly high price. And then she said, but if you buy today, I'll take 40% off. And if you pay in full today, I'll take another $1,000 off the price. So she started at this crazy, crazy high price. And then she came down to what would almost been a price I would have paid. But the fact that she played this game with me, like, you know,
that cat and mouse game.
So,
yes.
Oh,
I don't like
it. Like, insincere. And I know she had just done some coaching with somebody, and I know somebody had coached her to do this. And I was just like, nobody's going to go for this. And you could tell she was super uncomfortable with it anyway. And, you know, and I try to give people grace because, frankly, sometimes when people are like, I'm selling to Nikki, she's a sales coach, it can be hard to sell to me if you have any nerves around that. So I try to give people grace around it. But in this particular instance, the price was so outrageous. You know, like I said, 5 times what she was charging other people. And I'm like, well, I'm going to look around. Thanks, but no thanks.
So no one likes to be manipulated or just like you're being, you know, they don't care about you, or,
yeah,
you know, it just, all of this is like why people don't like to do sales, because they don't want to come off that way.
Yeah.
And yet it happens so often. And, you know, we need help. We need help with this. I mean, that's why I say I love what you're doing. And, I really want to recommend, let's talk about your book.
Okay.
Let's give a shout out here for, why don't you tell people, you got two books. Why don't you tell people a little bit about
your
three.
I have three.
Okay.
Yeah. My latest book, which is the one I recommend for somebody who's interested in sales, and it's called The Selling Staircase, Mastering the Art of Relationship Selling. And it's available where books are sold, on Kindle and Audible, you know.
The Selling Staircase.
The Selling Staircase, yeah.
Now, I just want to say that I listened to this on Audible, and you are an amazing speaker.
Thank you. I love the Audible version because a lot of stuff that I do has to do with what are you doing with your voice and inflection. And, you know, you might get a little bit of that in the, like, if you read the book, but if you listen to the book, you're going to hear the inflection of my voice when I change things. So if you like to listen, that's a great way to do it. My second book is called Buying Signals, and it's all around the signals that people give that indicate interest. And what do you say when you get a signal? And then my first book, I actually wrote my first book before I started my business, and it's called 6-Word Lessons on Influencing with Grace. And it's 100 tips that come from my background in neurolinguistic programming.
And then you have got a free download on closing the sale, right? Tell us where we can find that. I'll also leave the link.
Oh, thank you. This is my gift to your listeners. You can download my ebook, which is Closing the Sale. And in that, I talk about, you know, building that sales confidence in the last three steps of the sales conversation. And you can get that by going to yoursalesmaven, MAVEN.com/goddess. So yoursalesmaven.com/goddess. And your listeners can go download that for free.
And that's probably your website. Is it Sales Maven or The Sales Maven?
It's actually Your Sales Maven.
Even better, Your Sales Maven. Great.
Yeah.
So I really want to recommend all of that. And but we're not done, because, Nikki, we need to know what the buying signals are, how to get our antennas up. Because I think that we so often are leaving money on the table because we're not aware of the subtle cues. And so give us some examples of some buying signals that we need to keep our antenna up for.
Okay, so first, buying signals are verbal and nonverbal cues that people give that indicate interest. So I'm going to give you three that are often overlooked and not acted on, surprisingly. The first one is when somebody asks you about your price. Now, that might seem surprising because you think, well, that's obvious, right? It's price. But the piece that people miss is they miss the acting on the buying signal. So if somebody asks you your price, you say your price. You never say it depends, even though it may depend. That's not an answer. So you'll give a range in that case.
Right.
So you're going to say, you know, my price for that is this. And then you follow up with an invitation. You have to always follow up with an invitation. So if they ask about price, you give the price and you say, is that something you'd be interested in? Or is that something you'd like to get ordered? You have to issue that invitation. And then as soon as you issue the invitation, you got to zip it. You got to be quiet. You got to wait and see what they say next. So that's the first one. Another one, this is a common missed buying signal, because oftentimes when I say it, especially when I'm giving it as a talk, I always get a collective groan in the room when I say this one.
Okay.
If somebody has a conversation with you and they bring up a negative experience that they had with somebody who does what you do or something like what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes we go, oh, boy, they're never going to hire me, right? But actually, I want you to think, oh, potential buying signal here. So what you say in that moment is you say, I'm so sorry that was your experience. Here's what my clients experience when they work with me. And then you give them one or two things. And then you say, now, is there some way I might be a resource to you? And then you wait and you see what they say next.
I love that.
And then the third one, this is probably, thank you. The third one, this is probably the most missed buying signal, is somebody pays you a compliment about your product, your service, you, your business, whatever it is that has to do with what it is that you're selling. Now, most people like go, oh, I like a compliment. And I'll say, I love a compliment. So, you know, it's always nice to get a compliment. Most of us know that when we get a compliment, we say thank you or we acknowledge it in some way. Unfortunately, some of the good girls in us get a compliment and we deflect or we minimize or we play small when we get a compliment. That doesn't help you grow your business. So instead, when you get a compliment, I want you to take it in, accept it, be gracious, say thank you, and then follow up with an invitation. Somebody gives you a compliment about your business, I want you to say, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Now, is there some way I might be of service to you, or is there some way I might help you? And then wait and see what they say next.
You know, what I love about all this is that it's about owning it, which is something that the good girl struggles with. It's about owning your value and letting those compliments, you know, fully accept those. You also talk in your book about when you go to networking meetings or you're, you know, in a situation where you're meeting people, is to also to you talk about owning it, meaning always make sure you say your name.
Mm-hmm.
And also to act like you, this is your event. I love that. Tell us a little bit more about that. I love that.
Okay.
Part.
Well, okay. So I actually tend to be quite shy. Most people don't think that about me, but I am quite shy. And networking can be hard for me. And networking, I find oftentimes is hard for a lot of us in business.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the ways that I get over and out of my own way is I act as if it's my event and that I invited all of these people to hear, and that my job is to make people feel comfortable and to connect. So I will go up to somebody and say, I don't think we've met yet, but I'm Nikki Roush. It's so nice that you're here. And then I'll wait and find out a little bit more about them. And I'll say, now, is there somebody in the room that I can introduce you to or connect you with in some way? Because if you start to act like, I'm here to make you feel comfortable, people will appreciate that, especially those of us who are already nervous and feel uncomfortable being there. And if you make somebody feel welcome, they'll remember you. And if you introduce them to somebody or you connect with them or you show real interest in them, they will also remember you. It elevates your credibility in the room. And now they look to you as like, here's the person who I'm aspiring to be like. Here's the person who I want to be around. Here's the person who I want to learn more about that person. Like, what do they got going on? They seem confident.
Well, I love all these tools, tips, techniques. It's really just sage wisdom that we are literally desperate for. And because it's really about honoring ourselves and our work, and also honoring other people and how to, because sometimes you have even the best intentions and you get to a networking meeting and all of a sudden you're like, you feel like I've got to all talk about myself and get people interested in, you know, talking about, you know, my own things. And you know what I mean? It's like do you call it, sort of verbally vomiting on people or something?
I call it word vomiting.
It's like you get nervous because you don't know. And so having a plan, a game plan, like how do you connect at networking meetings? And, you know, sometimes we try and get the attention of people who don't want to connect with us, you know, or we decide, okay, I'm just going to play the wallflower, or we can't find the right role to play. So give us an idea of when we go into a networking event, what's the main thing we should be thinking?
My idea, I actually set a goal for myself when I go into a networking meeting. I call it the 3-2-1. And so I sit out in my car before I go into a networking meeting. I manage my mindset. I think mindset is a really important thing to manage, because otherwise I get up in my head, or I do want to just sit in the corner and people watch, especially that shy part of me. Like, I love to just people watch. But instead, I go in with real intention. So I go in with what I call my 3-2-1 of networking. So 3 is that I want to connect, make real connections with 3 people in the room. And I don't care if there's a room of 30 people or if there's a room of 300. I feel like a success if I can make a real connection with 3 people. And so the idea is I have to then make myself go and connect and meet different people. They have to be 3 new people. And then my 2 of the 3-2-1 is I want to deepen rapport with 2 people in the room who I might already know. If I've been to this event before, there's people in the room who I know from other events. I want to deepen connection and rapport with 2 of those people. And then my 1 is that I always want to have scheduled at least 1 next step meeting with somebody in the room. So could be from the 3, could be from the 2. But I want to have a next step outside of this networking. I want to have scheduled something with somebody. So that's my 3-2-1. And then at the end, when I go back up to my car, get to go, you know, leave or go wherever I'm going, my idea is I ask myself, how did I do? Well, I met 4 new people and I connected with 1, you know, person, but I actually have 2 next step meetings set up. So that felt really good. That was a good use of my time. And if I'm going out consistently at a networking meeting and I haven't done my 3-2-1 at all, then I start to ask myself, why am I going? Why am I spending this time and money going to an event if I'm not making it count? So am I just trying to be a lady who lunches, or am I here as a real business owner to connect and move my business forward? And that's how I decide whether or not I'm even going to attend meetings. If I have to do my 3-2-1, and if I'm not willing to do it, then I should be doing something else with my time and money.
And you don't want to also make the mistake. First of all, that's brilliant. I thank you so much for that. That's going to help our listeners a lot. And we also don't want to just go and just be shoving our business card in people's face, right?
No. And as a matter of fact, I don't think you should hand out a business card unless somebody asks for it. I just printed new business cards after 3 years only because I changed my logo and the colors of my brand. Okay. And I haven't even opened them. They're still in the box and I've had them for 6 months. So I don't give out business cards unless somebody asks for it. What I do is I schedule a next step. If somebody really wants to connect with me, then I offer to schedule a next step meeting with them and I get it on my calendar right then and there. So if they say, you know, what do you think about us, you know, getting together or getting to know each other better? I don't say, here's my business card, call me, because that's a waste of time and energy. And how many people have stacks of business cards sitting on their desk of people that they're going to call someday, right? Like most of us. But instead, I always say, great, let's schedule a time now. Do you have your calendar available? And then I pull my calendar out and then we get a time scheduled. So I never hand out business cards unless somebody specifically says, Nikki, can I have your business card? Then yes, you may. Or if the other thing is when people hand me, like, here, take 5 of my business cards, hand them to all your friends who need my help. I hate that so much. I think, like, I'm not here to do the work for you. Do your own work. And again, what a waste. What a waste of a resource and what a waste of a time to connect with somebody is to leave them feeling like, oh, I'm supposed to hand out your business cards for you? No, thanks.
Mm-hmm. So I'll have a tough question for you here.
Okay.
So what if you know that you're not interested in that, in one of the people that you've connected with, their business? You see, you know that they would like to sell you their business, whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. But you know that you're not interested. So you know that if you go into a next step with them, you're going to be faced with, okay, am I pitching my business or are they pitching me their business? Or am I going to have to tell them at some point no? Or do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So I probably wouldn't have scheduled that time with that person if I already knew that.
So you want to meet and go forward with someone who you have mutual interests.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, if we're just getting to know each other and I think, well, it'd be nice to know this person. And if you have time on your schedule, there's nothing wrong with getting to know somebody. But there's also nothing wrong with them saying, like, well, here's what I'm doing. You know, I'd love to earn your business, and say, for you to say, I so appreciate you sharing that with me. That isn't something that I'm interested in. So thank you, but no.
Some of the things that stop the good girl and those of us who might consider ourselves empaths, you know, from, you know, these relationships can feel a little tricky because you want to please everybody, right? And accommodate.
Yeah, but
you know,
giving people false hope or acting like, well, I'm going to think about it and I'll let you know. And
exactly.
All you're wanting to do is get off the phone with them. Like, that doesn't actually build any rapport for them.
Put your big girl panties on and tell them the truth.
You can be kind and say no, right? And sometimes I just say, thank you so much. I'm going to respectfully decline. Thank you. I appreciate it, though. And then I leave it there. Now, if they push back, if they're like, but I really think you should do this, Nikki, well, now they're breaking rapport with me because I was kind. And I was nice in the way that I said it, and I said a clear no, and you're not taking no for an answer. Well, now I'm not going to be as nice the next time I say it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, this has been like such a revelation, Nikki. Your books, I can't even recommend them more. I thank you so much, Nikki. Is there one last thing that you'd like to leave us with, another bit of wisdom we could hang on to?
Yes, here's what I'm going to say as your little bit of wisdom. If there is somebody that you would really like to earn their business and you don't even know how to broach mm-hmm. the topic with them, mm-hmm. it's okay to reach out to them and say, Joy, you are somebody who I would absolutely love to work with. Is there ever an opportunity that we might work together? And just issue that invitation and see what the person says. Now, they can say, like, thanks, what do you have in mind? Or, no, this isn't really for me. But they very well might be like, yes, I could absolutely use your services. I don't know why I hadn't thought of it before. So just be willing to check in and ask people and then see what they say and take their answer and be kind and be thoughtful in the way that you interact with them. But you'll never get a yes if you don't ask.
Nikki Rausch, Sales Maven, thank you so much. I'm so girl crushing on all your work, and I really want to recommend it to my audience. Thank you, Nikki. All for
Thanks
now.
Thanks for having me.
Take care.